All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode, I think we're around 172, something like that. It is, let's see, it is Tuesday, December 20th, in the quickly ending year of 2022. This is going to be a DGRP show, just Deborah and I and a guest. Guys, we're a value for value production. We are accepting time, talent, treasure, anything you got. We appreciate it. We have some people who have donated recently, and we really, really appreciate it. Drew Misson, executive producer, Chris Tropp, you know, all the normal guys. Thank you guys so much for all the support, and our old friend William Houston, he got in there and gave us a donation as well. I'll list everybody in the show notes for that, and yeah, we appreciate it, guys. I haven't been all that excited about my performance on the show recently, and people giving me words of encouragement really helps. So, Deborah, you're here. How's it going?
Here. It's going okay.
Yeah.
I like your background.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm getting ready for my trip back to Babylon. I've not been to California since February of 2019. And the day after tomorrow, I will be boarding a plane and headed to the Bay Area, where I will spend 2 days with my sister and my niece and nephew and my brother-in-law, and I will also be seeing my parents, who I haven't seen in 3 years. So, yeah, see how that goes. Looking forward to it.
I'm having coffee tomorrow.
Yeah, with my mom. Uh-huh. Yeah, they apparently are moving again to the Bay Area. So,
yeah,
who knows? You know, maybe they'll just keep moving north. You know, next they'll go to Medford, Oregon, and we'll see them up. They'll go to Roseburg, then they'll get up to Eugene, Portland. You know, 12 years, 13 years, they'll be all the way up in Columbia County. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. My parents are, my dad is nearly 80 years old, and for some reason they feel the need to move every 2 years still. It's beyond me. Because I am in the place that I hope that I die in many, many years, not anytime soon. So it's nice to see you back on the show. It's been a while. You have been, without saying too much, your significant other had a medical procedure and you've been spending time taking care of him. And that is very commendable.
Getting him on the mend.
How's it going?
It's better.
Yeah.
There's been, you know, it's just a slow go. I think the procedure he had is different for everybody. And, you know, parts of it have been good and parts of it have been not so good. But it's all, you know, progress moving forward.
That's good. Yeah. It's the older you get, the harder it is to recover. So, I'm in my early 40s and I'm feeling it pretty good. So, going pretty well out here on the farm. It's been been a busy Christmas season. I covered it on our other show, but we slaughtered our little guy Lyle. We hung him up in our friend's garage, and then yesterday I went back over after 6 days and we butchered him up, cut him up, ground him up, did all of it. So I got two big legs out of him. I was more meat than I expected. I wasn't expecting much. We got about 8 pounds of ground beef, got two legs, got two big sirloin roasts. Not big, but good size. And yeah, last night I made the back straps and it was good. It turned out really, really well.
And you made bone broth?
I made lamb bone broth, and man, it is... I liked it. It's intense though. If you if you don't like the taste of lamb, 100%, you're not going to get through a warmed up jar full of bone broth, because it's pretty lamby. And he was pretty mild tasting. We had those back straps last night, and it's pretty mild. It was really good. And I ate his heart too for lunch a while back.
How'd you
So
cook it, or did you?
chopped it up and put it in some butter, garlic, and white wine. And just, yeah, was good. I don't think you would have liked it. It was pretty chewy.
Yeah,
So,
probably wouldn't. Probably
yeah.
wouldn't.
But yeah, so it went really well. And we did all that, and then yeah, just keeping those relationships growing with people that I meet over at the woman's house who I do it at, who I did everything with. It's really great. She's a really great person. So and then I think on Saturday I went up the road a little bit and bought a new big ram, Katahdin hair sheep. And my neighbors have two Katahdin hair sheep ewes that they didn't want to have to feed over the winter, though. So they asked if I would take care of them, I could breed my ram with them and feed them all winter. And then I get all the lambs, and I'll just give it back to them in the summertime after they're born. So I felt bad. I got him on Saturday, and sheep really need a friend to be with, and he was all by himself since Saturday. So they brought their two over today, and he seems really, really happy now. So
Now, why couldn't you put him in with your other sheep?
because then I'd have to go catch him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you want to keep him. You want him to breed with the two newcomers.
Yeah. I want two different lines, because
Yeah.
if there's just one line of everybody's got the same dad, then I can't breed him again.
Oh, right.
He's
Yeah.
done. I got to either get rid of him or eat him. And he's as much of a jerk as he is, he's, I think, a good one to have around because he's enormous. So,
This new guy is a jerk.
no, the new guy's nice. He's really
Okay, yeah, you're
docile
Leonard.
and nervous. Yeah, my original ram is a dick. So, but what's your big plans for Christmas?
Not too much. I mean, we're keeping it real low key this year, not even putting up a tree.
Yeah, we went to get a tree today, and all the tree farms are done. We didn't get on it early enough. So, oh well. But we're gonna make a leg of lamb, and we'll see how I feel. I get home on Christmas Eve, and there is liturgy from 9 o'clock till about 3 a.m. with a potluck afterwards on Christmas Eve. I don't know if we're gonna have the stamina to get back down to Portland to go to that, but maybe we're thinking about it. So
From 9, what time does it start?
9 p.m.
To
Christmas Eve.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
Is the timing significant? Is that
Well, I think it's like kind of the same deals with like midnight mass. For did you know that Catholics have midnight mass? So you go.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any significant. There's always a service called Matins, or Vespers is on Saturday night, and the chronology of the church is weird. So the morning time is the morning the start of the day is actually like so the start of Sunday is Saturday evening in church time. So they have a service at like 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. And then they have one pre-liturgy, like the Divine Liturgy on Sunday morning is a big, real big, long one. But there's 2 hours before the actual one that like most people show up to. Some people show up for the whole thing, but it starts way earlier than just the regular one. The regular one starts at 10. And the other part starts at 8, and it just continues until noon when they're done. So some people do the whole thing every week. Yeah, it's a lot. But our guest is here. Let's just let her in.
Alrighty.
And yeah. Do you know who it is?
Testimona.
Yes. Tess, are you there? Okay. Ask to unmute. She's there.
Okay, right. There we go.
Hey,
hi.
You're on the air. What's going on?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, guys. Tess from The Great Silencing is back on the show. Happy to have you. How's it going?
It is going well. I'm just getting ready to actually get out of town for a little bit, so I'm looking forward to that. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing good.
Where are you headed?
I am headed to actually visit some relatives in Hawaii, so I'm going.
Bummer.
I'm going to, if I can get out, though, because we have like sub-zero storms coming this way, and I'm supposed to be flying out the day it hits, so we'll see if I make it out, but
yeah, I'm supposed to fly on Thursday, and we're supposed to be like 19 degrees and snowy here, so we'll see if I get out, too. So,
oh, yeah.
If I don't make it to California, oh, well, you know.
Oh, you'll be so broken up about that.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're happy to have you back on the show, and hopefully we'll be a little more successful than last time. I take full responsibility for that one, but we couldn't convince Deborah that women should defend themselves against violent attacks, but maybe we'll do better this time. What are we talking about today?
So today, I think that what we had, you know, briefly touched on was the odd situation going on right now between the genders, gender tension, gender roles. And by gender tension, I meant tension between men and women. And you had also mentioned some stuff about progressivism and, you know, how that started and how it's going type of deal. So definitely a very much of a hornet's nest of a topic that I have been doing a lot of work on myself, just trying to unpack everything.
Yeah, I would say progressivism is progressing.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think a lot of stuff is progressing at a very rapid rate right now. We're seeing a lot of polarization, and it just seems like everybody's mad all the time. So I've been working on a side project with a friend that we're going to turn into a podcast about this. But a lot of research has to be done outside of our own opinions first.
Yeah, just what's it going to be about? Just gender roles, and what's going on, and the history of it, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, history and religion are kind of the two things that I'm getting smacked in the face with the most, just because basically what I'm trying to do, because I know my life, my opinion, I know her life, her opinion, but we're just two people. So I'm kind of trying to create some content that can help bridge the divide between these polarities that we're seeing, because I'm seeing people on both sides, and I feel like a lot of people are just not able to accurately express themselves for whatever reason. And that's what's creating a lot of maybe extreme behaviors or just anger in general. But yeah, what so I've been talking to a lot of men have actually, told me their feelings and their story, which has been super helpful. But I'm just trying to get people to, you know, especially ones that are not women or disagree with me, and share, you know, what their thoughts are and what is their experience. Because the whole thing that we're kind of staring at is what is going on with said masculine roles? What is going on with said feminine roles? How can we get it to where men and women aren't constantly trashing each other? And also, what are those roles? Do we even know what they are? Where do they come from? And that's where the hornet's nest comes in for me. So I'm like, holy shit, now I'm having to do some massive deep dives and down multiple avenues, and I'm just trying to structure it to where the content is not divisive. I'm trying to like kind of put something together where, you know, maybe people on both sides can see what's going on from a bird's eye view. So I'm trying to leave my own opinions out of it and just really look at like what the fuck is happening right now, because it is a bit of a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and it goes so far either back in time, and just so many different factors that have like led us to exactly where we are. Deborah and I did listen to this book on Audible. I forget what the name was. It was the guy that did the, remember that? Let's see. It is called, remember that one, Deborah? It's
Yeah, let me look it up.
the mass psychosis one. Did you get into that book at all? You know that guy, he was go I forget what it's called. I can't find it on my list, but there was
Oh,
a
I would
guy.
be very interested in that.
Yeah.
Not a cult feminism, no.
No, that was one of them, but there was also this one, the guy that went, he was going on a lot of podcasts recently, and he was talking about the mass psychosis problem, and he put it a lot of it on the role of kind of overbearing women these days. And that was, it's interesting to understand how kind of the COVID psychosis came a lot from females and weak men, and how, you know, that's kind of the plan. Is that kind of what you've been looking into?
I've been looking actually a little further back than that, but that is part of it. I think we were already a little dicey, but I mean it's completely undebatable that humanity kind of fell off a cliff during the COVID psychosis. I mean Jesus. So no, I have gone back a lot further because I'm trying to take this all the way back, which means I have to get into people's religious beliefs and also deal with the fact that a lot of our history is fucked up or censored or redacted or missing and try to piece that shit together and try to make connections. So I am going back further than the COVID stuff. But yeah, the COVID hysteria, yeah, I mean that's another angle that I'm coming from, which I know that you've read these documents, the ones that were used at the first Bilderberg meeting, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, allegedly, right? Because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But there is at the very end of that document, it specifically details how to emasculate men, and you have to program women in a certain way in order to do it. So then women, without even knowing it, become agents of this agenda, and then men are also have their own shit that's being propagated toward them. And the goal actually is to cut off the protective instincts of both male and female. That way the children are left as, in their words, occupational orphans, because part of their agenda was also getting both parents to work. And so they basically, the way that they were describing it, it's the most sociopathic shit I've ever read in my life. But the way they were describing it is, you know, if the parents are essentially useless and we can take away their protective instincts and their ability to work together, then the kids are totally open for our own indoctrination. And then we can create, you know, think like an example, maybe throwing some generic shit out, but Hitler Youth 2.0, like governments have absolutely used children to do some pretty fucked up shit. And so that's essentially what their point is to create new generations that are more loyal to the state than they are to their even own family.
Yeah,
And
man.
who is the they, just to make it clear for me?
This would be the members of the Bilderberg group. There is a roster as far as who was present at the first one. You might, and there's repeat people, but obviously this was in like around the end of World War II. So I don't know that everyone is still alive, but you know, a lot of this is family, like blood, like you'll recognize some last names. So I can actually, if you want, I could pull that up, or I could just send it to you after the podcast. It's totally up to you. But Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars was a military document used at the first Bilderberg meeting. So the Bilderberg group is who I would pay attention to, and that is a international group of people that are still in still kind of pulling all the strings today. So
Okay. Interesting.
I'm like, where did he
He
go?
jumped off the.
It's like he's gone. It's just the bridge now.
Interesting choice, since he's not as fond of California and the Bay Area as he used to be. But anyway, back to this whole. You think it goes back beyond even World War One, World War, I mean, it has to go back further than that.
Yeah, I do. But again, like I speak lightly on it now, because until I have like actual things I can show you, it's just me talking. But I do believe that, and I also have seen that. But it is ironically hard to wade through history beyond a certain point. It's like the information just becomes like more and more scarce. So it's just going to require a lot. But I also want to look outside of Western societies as well, because I mean, there is evidence of societies. I mean, even like say Cleopatra as an example, who was like running Egypt allegedly when she was a teenager. Again, I say that because I was not there, but there are evidence of societies that were not structured in a either patriarchal or fraternal type of way. But we don't have a lot of information on what that looked like. So I'm trying to kind of compare the two, because I think a lot of these reactions we're seeing on both sides is kind of the rubber band effect from something getting tilted out of balance one way. So someone tries to overcorrect, but they kind of yank on the wheel too hard. And then we just have another polar extreme and we're still out of balance and it's just different. And so it's like this weird seesaw that I think everybody wants to find a balance. So that's what I'm trying to do basically, is like, where's the middle ground? Where's the unheard trauma on both sides? Where's the stuff that is not being heard because people are really angry? And when everybody is really reactive, it's hard to hear what they're really trying to say because people get defensive, myself included. It's not an easy topic for me to wade through either, because I have to look at some stuff that's very disturbing to me. But you know, it's just, I mean, it is what it is. I guess we'll see what I find. Really, me and one of my friends have met up a few times trying to work on it, and we think we're going to record every time, and it's like, nope, still not ready at all. So we'll see when it gets done, hopefully within a month.
Yeah, it's hard when you realize that you fell for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I fell for a whole bunch of stuff, hook, line, and sinker. You know, I lived in the Bay Area, and you know, I was full on board. You know, I thought that people that had kids were evil and bad, and you know, I thought that it's crazy how far I've come to be from there. But so I found that book that I'm talking about is called The United States of Fear, and it's about it's by Mark McDonald. It's definitely a good resource to check out. But what have you noticed in what made you first, I mean, it's not hard to see because of everything that's happening around us, what made you first start noticing, or what's the biggest stuff that you've noticed going on today that we need to address first?
You mean in this context here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I first started noticing it, it was way before, oh God, it's such a rabbit hole. So the first thing to me being like, some shit's weird. Obviously I knew there was an imbalance, you know, against women by being a woman, by the way that the messages that I received growing up, and also a lot of the sexual violence and the ramifications for just going through that as a child. So I was aware that, like, you know, there is a lot of fucked up shit that women go through. But as I got older, what kind of made me feel like society was going off the rails, because I never felt like having relationships with men was difficult. And what I mean by that is like partnerships. Like, I am somebody who, you know, typically is someone who's like in a long-term relationship. I was never really the person that just like fluttered around with random people. But then I noticed, and this was right around COVID, I noticed like a weird shift, and it seemed like people weren't able to connect and were like always at odds with each other, not opening up, very, very weird, just odd. And so I would notice that, and I'd talk to people about it, right? And the thing that I would hear the most was just an overriding of men in general. And the statement would always be, men are trash, fuck men. And for me, that's not an acceptable answer to my problem. You know what I mean? Because like, I like having men in my life, and I think that they're fucking necessary the same way that women are. Like, that's crazy to just write off half the planet. So I was like, well, no, like that actually made me angry when I would hear that. So I would stop talking to certain people if I would have, you know, relationship problems or issues with dudes. Cause I'm like, I want to see what's going on clearly and have someone be able to play devil's advocate with me to see where am I out of pocket, or is it the other person? But just the men are trash stuff, I'm like, where the fuck is that coming from? But where it comes from, I know where it comes from, right? It's just not helpful, I don't think. And that's what concerns me the most out of all of this, is if men and women, I understand there are people that don't identify as a gender. I'm not talking about gender roles. I'm literally talking about like the people, right? Like everybody's born with certain parts. So that's what the fuck I'm talking about. Like we do need each other and we do need to work together. And as far as like future generations are concerned, obviously you need a male and a female to have children. So if we can't work together, we're fucked. And so are all the future generations. So that's extremely concerning to me. And then I would kind of pay attention to people. And I would also talk to people. And a lot of them were men. And they would even tell me like what their hangups were and the shit that they were going through. And it broke my heart, honestly, like on both sides. There just seems to be such a communication and understanding barrier on both sides. And that's why I see such a lack of harmony and ability to work together. And it's just like, it's fucking sad. Like, are people just going to be reduced to just like random hookups on dating apps and not capable of relationships that have any function besides a distraction? Cause I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. And I remember when that was not the case. So yeah, does seem to be new.
That's just like one step along the way. The goal is to have people with VR goggles on in cum pods.
100%
with no human interaction.
Yeah, 100%. And that terrifies me. So that's why I meant this is such a fucking hornet's nest, because this issue I think is more part of, like, I guess you could refer it to as the overarching agenda, specifically speaking, societal automation and depopulation, than I even realized. And I didn't until I started digging into it and being like, oh my God, there is virtually no area of human life as we know it that this does not touch in some way. So that's why this is so intense, and I'm trying to be really careful about it, because the last thing I want is to be like just another voice on one side that's like talking shit about the other side. Not saying that there aren't times when I fucking want to, because there are, but I don't see that getting us anywhere except further apart, which is basic divide and conquer shit. But we are in a lot of fucking trouble if we allow that shit to happen. So at some point, you know, not everyone's going to get it, but if even some people can maybe reconcile, we can have a chance. But I feel like we're at a turning point of, are we going to turn this around, work together and thrive and pull up out of the dystopia? Because we do need both energies in order to do that shit. Or are we going to descend into dystopian, you know, bug pod, you know, Oculus wearing living, and have it just be end game for humanity? And then what the hell is going to happen to the kids? Like, that's a big concern for me.
Yeah. I they just came out with VR, these little pads, and you can, like, if you got VR on and you put a body part over it, you could like feel, if you put your hand over it and you were like in the ocean, you would feel water. So that's just like the next step. So like people are going to like put their boners over it and stuff. And then we're just going to, I mean, the technology is just going to keep progressing and progressing. Deborah, do you ever remember a time when you kind of like realized a shift in society was taking place, where traditional families or nuclear families, even though they're different, weren't being promoted? There was a lot of talk about, you know, women who don't need men to raise children and stuff like that.
I don't remember specifically that, but I do know, you know, when I was super young, I just assumed I would be married and, you know, have a family. And, you know, that was when I was really young. But as I got older, that was not of interest to me all through my late teens, early 20s, until I was in my 30s when I got married and when I had kids. And up until that time, all through my young adulthood, that was not in my orbit at all. I had relationships that, were long term, but it never, that wasn't the end goal for me at that time.
The end goal wasn't a family with kids. Did you want kids?
When I was younger, yes, but not as a young adult.
So in your 20s, you were saying to yourself, like,
it just didn't feel like that was my path.
Yeah, but it was.
And happily so. I mean, I my family, my children are my greatest, pleasure. Yeah,
I'm glad you didn't get tricked all the way.
It was when I lived, I would never have put this together, but it was when I lived in the city.
Yeah. And you were hanging out with a lot of
like-minded people
Oh, wow. That's a trip.
Out with a lot of what kind of men?
Gay men.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
When I moved, I left college and moved to San Francisco. I was 21 years old. And there's always your personal history that leads up to, however you wind up. I never had male friends growing up. I just didn't. It just was not. I had women friends and I had boyfriends, but I didn't have really guys that I felt I could trust to be friends with. And so when I moved to San Francisco and I started, working in retail industry, that was, I was surrounded by gay men who were so fun and so safe and, it just felt really natural and fun and safe. And I did have boyfriends at this time, but, yeah, I never had a guy friend until I, started running around with gay men.
Interesting. Cause yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, like wondering if, cause I know how the messages that I got as a young girl from my parents when I was really little about like, how that happens, like, this is what you should be or not be, parents will do that kind of stuff. And so I was wondering, cause I know what my grandmother said to my mom, cause my grandmother is from Sicily, Sicilian woman, Catholic, like very, very traditional. And so she, my mom obviously went a very different way. And so the way that the messages that I got were like polar opposite to what she was told. So I was actually going to ask you, like, did you get any, like what were the messages that you got, I guess, when you were young around being a woman, or was that not really a conversation?
Didn't come up a whole lot, but
oh, really?
I did when I was like in high school and my mom, I never really had that much of a relationship with my father at that time, but my mom would say, if you get into any trouble, we're just going to send you to Louisiana to the, relatives in Louisiana. And that was like, huh, I don't want that to happen. So, I operated like I didn't even have a brain, really, truly. I just was dumb. Was just plain dumb.
I think it's just being young, we're all dumb when we're young.
But it was like men were just a foreign thing. I just didn't have any, I don't know, just didn't want friends, male friends, and didn't, think that I had any value to men.
Got it. Definitely a lot to unpack there. I'm not a therapist. I just wanted to know, because I can like kind of remember I remember hearing like Jennifer Aniston in somewhere in like the mid 90s, like talking about, you know, wanting to have babies and not needing a man to help her do it. And I know somewhere along the lines that it changed to that. And then I think we're almost to the point where if you grow up and you're not kind of from like a smaller town or a rural area, if you get out to the big city, and there's nobody getting married at what used to be like the normal age of, you know, early 20s, having children before their 30s. Most everybody now, if you live in a city, the women wait too long and can't do it, or, you know, they move to the suburbs and do IVF or something like that. So, I think it's I think, and I think all that's by design. I think that, but I don't know where. I mean, we can look so many different places and say that it's for, you know, population control would be just a basic kind of a, you know, follow the trail way to look at it. But I think there's so much more to it. What do you think, Tess?
I do think that, I mean, yeah, like you said, there's a lot to unpack. And I do think that I definitely think that there is more to it than depopulation, because we've got, yes, we have that. And then, yes, we do have a ruling class that wants, you know, a subservient statist loyal class, which would mean that you would need the parents to basically mean nothing other than breeders for the state. Like, but you do not want the children to have a bond or a loyalty with either parent if you are the governing class and want control over the kids and their minds, so you can have perfect soldiers and slaves. So that's part of it too. But I also, and I'm wondering how much of this is human nature or us trying to work out imbalances or power struggles, but it's like it's so weird because it does boil down to a lot, whether it's historical events, whether it's different cultures and their customs, or, you know, certain people were alive through certain circumstances, so it made sense to have particular roles, but then maybe that changed. And then, you know, so it is really, really complicated. Like, I would do better at probably commenting on more specifics, because I'm still wading through, you know, the whole of it. And also the thing that pops out constantly at me, which I won't comment on it, but the thing that pops out is religious and spiritual beliefs of many different kinds. It's not just one, have played a enormous role as far as influence. And so I'm just kind of like, well, where's that coming from? And what was it like before that? Was it still, you know, but there's, I don't know. It's so weird. So I don't have like a perfect, you know, one-liner answer. I just am realizing that this is so much more complicated than even I thought it was.
And I think the religion aspect, the religious aspect has to play a huge part. I mean, we know that, you know, back in ancient times, it was more of a matriarchal society. And then, you know, I could be wrong about this, but this is the way I understand it. When, you know, Christianity became more adopted or whatever, it turned more into a patriarchy. And maybe it was before that. I just don't even know. But at one point it was, you know, the females were the religious masters, mistresses. And then, you know, at a certain point, you know, they were called witches. They knew how to heal people. They, you know, it was some sort of satanic or, you know, bad thing instead of a good thing. And so am I making any sense? I feel like
No,
I'm sort of.
that's also my understanding too, a lot of it as well. And it's like, and I have to figure out if this was all of Europe or just certain parts of Europe, but I do remember reading that there for a minute, this was like back in the 1600s, I believe. I could be wrong, but for some reason that was the era that it stood out for me, where there for a time there was actually an issue with, because of the witch burnings and stuff, because the people were just going from village to village, that there was a issue with there not being that many women in that part of the world, because that was such a common practice. So it's like, that's another thing that I've got to dive into. And do I have some information on it already and some understanding? Yes, for sure. But I also want to, I just want to keep myself as open as possible to, so that way I can, you know, absorb things that I don't yet know. And it's always a difficult game wading through religious texts or wading through history, because it's like, you know, we're all aware that information is manipulated constantly. So it's like even if we have something written down in black and white says this happened then or that happened then, it's like, it can get maddening almost, because it's like, well, you know, do we really know? Or like, you know, who wrote this? Like, you know, da-da-da. So that's why I have to like cross-reference a lot. Yeah. But yeah, no, you are making sense. I have seen the same things. And then before that, it's like, well, what happened before that? I have no idea. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I don't know yet.
And then the women's movement. You know, it seemed like everything stayed pretty, you know, everybody played their roles, whatever they were, until like the 60s when the women's movement came. And then all of a sudden everything got thrown up in the air again.
Yeah, it did. It did. And do you like, do we know anything about CIA meddling in any of that kind of stuff? Because I have seen some stuff, but it was more in reference to like the Woodstock movement.
Yeah, I can't say anything for certain or quote like specific documents, but in my opinion, the whole first wave women's feminism movement, or whichever one was in the 60s, second wave, was fully an op, and all it did was it made women think that like, oh, to be empowered and to reach your full potential, you need to do everything that a man does. You need to be a man. You need to go to work. And what happens, Deborah, when a woman goes to work? What does the government get?
Money. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Everybody, the whole other half of the population gets taxed.
Right.
And then what else happens? Those kids
are raised by people outside of the family.
They go outside the state, and like what I said earlier about progressivism, it just keeps going and going and going. And now we're seeing most places where it's like the state wants to take your kids at two years old, you know? So 2 years old, the state's going to have your kids for 10 hours a day, you know, until they're 18 years old. I always think of, in 1984, how he's got Winston has that like fat next door neighbor who's like terrified of his children. He's really, really scared of his kids, you know, telling on him. And I always think of that nowadays.
That right there would be, I mean, according to like the documents that I've seen, it would be the reality that they'd be looking for sure. So yeah, but that is very interesting, because so I'll just use an example. And this goes back like old, like World War I, but this was just the example of something that my grandma and great grandma in Sicily went through. So my great grandpa died in World War I, right? So I have my great grandma and she's got all the kids, including my grandmother. And in Sicily, women were not allowed to work. So that family started to actually starve. And my grandma got sent to the United States, where apparently women and children were working, because she came over here when she was 14 years old and worked in a dress factory in New York, and started sending money back to Sicily because she couldn't work. So like my grandma had to come to the United States in order to get them money. So like in a situation like that, that totally makes sense. Like if the man who was providing the money, and then the woman was raising humans, you know, that's a partnership right there. But if he dies, it's like, well, they need money to eat, right? Because like, you know, you can, it's complicated. But so that shit makes sense to me, but that's not where it is right now. And I don't think that's, you know, we're not like in a time where, you know, all the men in our country have been drafted into a war like you guys are here. So it's a little bit different.
yeah, I mean, the way that they've structured the economy, and you know all about this stuff because you're into it, you know, starting in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, and then up to 1971 when we go off the gold standard and stuff like that, and just allowing this immense inflation to occur. Like, there's no way that a normal, you know, nuclear family barely ever can have one parent stay at home.
Oh, no way. Yeah. I mean, it's even hard when both parents are working, depending on what their jobs are. You know what I mean? Like, it's nuts now because, yeah, you did used to, so, I mean, so I've been told, you did used to be able to raise a family on a single income. I know, I understand that was a long time ago, but it's like nuts that now even people with two incomes are struggling to do it. And that also can be a deterrent for women, like in my age group, to have kids. Like, that was,
yeah,
like for me, I always remember from a young age actually never wanting them. There was a time in my life where I was engaged to this person. And it was a very, very long-term relationship, very serious relationship. That was the one time where we were actually planning on having kids. And I was very young, actually, when we made that decision. Like, I was still a teenager when we decided that that's what we were going to do. But, you know, that didn't work out. And he passed away, which, you know, that is what it is. But since him, I also have not really been hell bent on it. And there's reasons for that. But if I was in the right relationship and it happened, would I? Yeah, I would. But that can be a deterrent as well. Is like, you look at how expensive life is. And I've even had that go through my head of like, how would I possibly be able to give, even with me and the dude working, like we're already struggling, how could we possibly afford to have children? Which again is like, that might be another conversation entirely, actually. But that's also something that is pretty tragic. That
it is tragic
to think about. Yeah.
But like you said, like how you've been looking into so many different things. I think it's all related, and I think it's all on purpose. I think that, and by the way, I hope that someday it does happen for you, because I think you'd be a really good mom. But I think it's put out there. I think making people not want to have families is the goal. And I haven't really uncovered why yet, besides, you know, like what we said earlier. But it's just and it's hard. It's the hardest one for me because I fell for it. You know, I've talked about this before on the show. Deborah knows all about it. Like, you know, I was 37, I think, right? You know, I got married late. I messed around for a bunch of my life and took a while to get situated again and become like a better person. But, you know, I met Deborah's daughter. We were going to get married. And I went and got my nuts cut off. I got a vasectomy before we got married. And it's like, luckily I have insurance and was able to get it reversed like years later. But yeah, I fell for the thing hook, line, and sinker. And it's a bummer. And it's just, we were living in San Francisco at the time. I was making good money, like $100,000 a year. And in San Francisco at that point, it was like $105,000 was the poverty level for a family of four, which is insane. Like, you can get Section 8 housing if you make $104,000 a year in San Francisco. If you have a family with four kids, with a husband, a wife, and two kids can get Section 8 if they make under $105,000. And still, even if you do make $105,000, you're like, that's going to be a tough go.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, part of my thinking, besides like being a selfish person at the time, and was just like, if I lived here, there's no way, like, I'm never going to own a house. I'm never going to do anything. You know, why should I have kids? There's already bad traffic, just everything. And I think there's so much that goes into it. And yeah, it makes me sad that Rachel Wilson talks about it all the time, how she wants little girls to be at school. And like, when the teacher asks her, what do you want to be when you grow up? Have like, mom be, I want to be a mom, to be a standalone acceptable answer, not like, oh no, but what do you want your job to be? So mm-hmm.
And that right there ties back into the, like, get everybody into the workhorse or, you know, slave force thing, because that's not like, if a little girl went into school and said that, they would be like, no, you failed, or she would get pressed and they would try to push that out of her. That should be allowed. And the girl I'm actually doing this series with, she's worked before, obviously, but she now is a stay-at-home mom with her two daughters, and she homeschools them, and her husband works, but it's like they're both working and contributing. They just are playing different roles. But if she wasn't able to like stay home and homeschool the kids, they'd be at the mercy of the public schools right now. And I'm not hearing great things coming out of those places.
No, so we can get into that next. But I think that despite all this talk about like how hard it is, even with two parents working, I mean, think of if two parents are working, what percentage of the moms, let's just say it's normally maybe the woman makes a little less money. How much of that money that the mom makes is just for like
daycare
and stuff like that? And it's like, if I was in the situation, it's really hard to say when you're not in the situation, or it's really easy to say when you're not in the situation, but I would do everything so that one of us could stay home and maybe make do with a little bit less. And like right now, it's hard, you know, we deal with this weird gender reversal role. My wife and I, like, my wife goes out and makes the money and I stay home and like build the house and take care of the farm and the animals and stuff. And there's definitely like tension there, because our roles are kind of backwards than normal. And so I totally get it. And there's people that would probably call me, you know, like a cuck or something, because I've stayed home and let my wife make money, but it's not like I'm just sitting on the couch or anything. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you kind of, if you're building a house, like, I mean, I don't know, with my body size, I don't have the strength to build a house. Like, that's intense. You're like doing construction at home. So yeah, that's, I mean, you're still working. It's just, you're not paying taxes and it's not like giving you Templar notes, but that's, to me, that's still work. That's still like, you're not like just doing nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but like, I remember when I quit, like I was making really good money. Like when I quit my job, like we had really good insurance, really good, you know, but I hated my job. So it didn't make sense for me to stay, because she actually likes her job and does really well at it. She's really good. But do you want to get into some of the transgender stuff? Have you looked into any of that and how it's been promoted or what it's done to these gender roles?
So there's a few things I could go off of, because what it's doing to gender roles, like, that's the one. There has been a time when I have gotten absolutely like furious beyond words with some of the stuff that we see. As far as like just transgenderism, like as a standalone thing by itself, because obviously we see that being promoted post-COVID, but to my knowledge, it was not prior. And the reason why I say that is because I have multiple friends who have transitioned, and it was absolute hell. Nobody was supporting them. It wasn't even something that they could really be public about. They were disowned by their families. Like, you see suicide attempts with people in that situation. Like, it was not something that was like all over the place and in people's internet bios, like at all. It was something that was really difficult for them. And so I saw them have that experience, which is very different from what I'm seeing today. So I try to not like it, in someone's like individual situation, I don't ever really weigh in on that. However, I remember this was a recent situation, what I'm about to share. It's an individual that, let's just say, I know this person. This happened pretty recently. This person is quite a bit younger, meaning that they were likely a senior in high school when everything shut down, if my math is correct. So they are much younger. And I didn't even ask them about this. They told me that they identified as non-binary, and just based on what they had shared with me, it sounded like this individual, you know, he dates other men. And he was telling me about when, I guess he made a coming out of the closet joke to another guy. And then he started telling me about him and, or his experience or whatever, which was way different from anything I had ever heard. He told me that he heard somebody at school, like a teacher, talking about it and explaining what I don't know if he meant being non-binary, being gay, or transgenderism. I'm not sure which one he was referring to specifically, but he goes, yeah, I just heard them talk about it one day and was like, oh yeah, that's me. And then like, that's what it was. And it just switched. So I'm just like, that's where it gets a little bit dicey, because I do know like dead ass situations where that is someone's experience. And I would never weigh in on it, cause I have not had that experience. So I don't know fuck all about it. But then when I hear somebody say, oh, someone at school told me about it, and I was like, oh, cool, that's me. That's when I'm like, that's a little bit different from anything I've ever heard. And I know that it is, you know, we see like, you know, drag queens being told to go like twerk in front of like kindergartners and shit. Like I've seen the video of it. It's not even, I'm not, you know, you guys already know that shit, but I've seen videos of it. And I'm just like, when did that become a necessary thing? Because we weren't even talking to children that young about any type of sexuality a few years ago, like none at all. Like sexuality was not part of like kindergarten story time ever. And yeah, now we're seeing what we're seeing. So I mean, shit, like I would not, I all I'm saying is I would never fucking let my, if I had kids, I would never ever expose them to that. Just because I think that you need to be a little older to be able to discern what's going on. I don't think that kids need to have that kind of shit pushed on them. And you know, we don't need to intentionally confuse someone. People are all of a sudden assuming that every child is having a gender crisis. No, they're fucking not. Like that was never the majority. And if you push that on them, then you're going to end up creating that. And for people who truly do have that experience, it's not fucking pleasant. So like, why would we induce something that's so like, I don't know if I'm even making sense, because I have a lot of opinions on different facets of it. So it's hard to make like general statements, I guess.
Yeah.
I just remember I was, you know, I think 13, like definitely we called it junior high then, before we had sex ed, and the parents had to attend. It was not, you know, taught in the classroom. It was taught in the school auditorium, and you had to attend with one or both of your parents. And, you know, it's gone completely somewhere else these days. I mean, my kids were like maybe 10 when they had sex ed in the classroom. Yeah,
that seems, I mean, even that seems early.
Well,
it seems like you should be taught how a baby is made around the time when your body could start making a baby. And to me, that'd be like eighth grade.
But unfortunately, I mean, they're exposed to all this stuff all the time. So they know that, you know, there is some mystery about how babies are made, and they're curious.
Yeah.
You know, because they've been exposed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the best situation would be, but
I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube these days with technology. And you know, there's, I mean, how many people have no, you know, locks on their family computer? Like it's so crazy how easy it is to access pornography. Like it's free.
Yeah,
which is another whole op that could be a whole thing, and we can get into the whole, you know, country that produces that. You know, that one might upset Deborah too, but it's just like, I think that's a huge deal. And I don't know
what would upset me.
Well, who's responsible for the pornography?
Who is?
Israel. So,
really,
it's a whole, more people from Israel, but it's a whole different show. Okay. But just so you know, that's what the bell means, Deborah.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, that and the, just the, I think, like, it just seems crazy that that people think that they need to teach little kids about it, and like how all these, there's a whole bunch of male kindergarten teachers now and stuff. That just seems weird to me. But
I have to stop you there, because not Emily, but her sister had a male kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, I did too.
Fabulous teacher ever.
Fabulous.
No, married man. Don't say that.
But like, you shouldn't even. Yeah, I mean, I had a male kindergarten teacher too. It was pretty uncommon though back in the day. But I mean, now that they're the amount of gay men that are teaching little baby kids and like telling them about their husband and like people that think that they're being, you know, what's it called? Just being delegitimized because they're not allowed to talk to the kids about their sexuality. And do you remember when they were talking about you watch CNN, Deborah, do you remember when they were talking about in Florida, the don't say gay bill?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that was?
Don't say gay.
Yeah. Like, what does it sound like? Like, oh, you're not allowed to teach kids about anything gay.
Right.
That's what it sounds like when you say
that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
But what it is that it's like, you can't teach kids that are under third grade about sex. That's what it was. It had nothing to do with gayness. So at some point, Deborah, like, does it seem to you like this is being, for some reason, pushed upon children?
Well, you know, there's so many different ways you can look at it. I mean, it, unfortunately, in today's world, people feel like it is important to teach their young toddlers where it's okay to touch and where it's
not. But that's obviously important to teach little kids that if they get touched in their special areas that they should tell somebody. But that's much, much different than transvestites reading the Berenstain Bears to your kids.
Yeah, I don't see any purpose to having it.
Why do you think it's so widespread then?
I don't know.
Does it seem like it's a concerted effort to do something to the,
well, to normalize, I guess.
Yeah, it seems really, really strange. I remember up by us, kind of by your other daughter, is Evergreen State University. Mm-hmm. And that is like ground zero for wokeness, what you would stereotypically refer to as being woke. That's where Brett Weinstein was the professor. And there, it's something wild, like 40% of the student body identifies as queer. But we all know from people that we've met in our past that queer can also mean that you're a white girl who has sex with white men, but you just feel a little queer or something like that. But it gets to the point where if you were just like a straight white kid up there and you tried to go like hang out with people, you would be rejected for that sort of orientation. And so people are just like, oh yeah, I'm queer to fit in. Does that make sense?
No, to deny who, whatever you are, to fit into any.
Well, but what if you said, what if you were, people didn't want to be your friend because you're like a white person who was heterosexual?
That's ridiculous.
Well, I know it's ridiculous, Deborah, but don't you think that it would also affect people for, like, affect what people identified as so they could fit in better, especially when they're 19 years old and like away from home for the first time?
I don't know. I guess it's happening. I mean, you're saying that 40% of the student body at this Evergreen school is.
Yeah. And I think, I think you would be appalled, or like not appalled maybe, but very, very surprised at the amount of like 15-year-old kids that would identify as being like transgender or queer or gay or whatever nowadays, as opposed to what it was when we were growing up. And then you can go as far as to say like, oh, well, it's a more accepting society and people are more openly out. I would say that that's a minuscule fraction, but it just seems much more overrepresented, especially in urban areas. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the end goal? Is the end goal to promote transgenderism all the way till, I mean, if you take hormones when you're a little kid, Deborah, you can't have kids, you know? Could that be the goal?
Sure. I mean,
in my state, you can go get hormones without parental consent at 14 from Planned Parenthood. So a little girl can go and get on testosterone replacement therapy.
Oh my God. That's happening in Oregon right now?
Yeah. I mean, the amount of states where it's, I mean, if, and then where you live, Deborah, what Gavin Newsom just did was he said that California is a transgender sanctuary state. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means? So say a kid is in, I'm just going to pick a state in the Midwest where I don't know what the rules are, but say, okay, say a kid in Texas wants to, this 14 years old kid, they probably have the same rules on when you can get TRT if you're a girl in California from Planned Parenthood. But say a kid, a little girl in Texas is like, oh, I'm trans. You know, my teacher told me I'm trans. I can't get the hormones I need to be who I am here. They can go to California, get their gender affirming hormones and surgeries and all that stuff, and nobody would be liable for that, you know? It's wild. It's so crazy. And there's got to be something to it, you know? So, and then that's kind of what, when we talked way back about the, when we had Pete Quinones on the show and we talked about the Weimar Republic in Germany, like they were chopping people up and doing all that stuff. And that was the precursor to the end, you know? So it seems like we're close to that.
Yeah, that's actually, I did hear about that, about California. And I mean, I can't say that I was surprised, but it is so unbelievably dangerous to politicize the way that kids should be brought up. Because again, they're acting like this has been some like epidemic forever, that kids need to have, you know, sex change surgeries or go on hormones or whatever, where that's never, I mean, I'm not saying there haven't been kids that have been transgender, but that's never been like as overwhelming of a number as they're making it seem, like to where they're making policy around it now. And it's a legitimate like political talking point and voting point. That's nuts to me. And again, it's more evidence to me that like the parents are not involved as well as they should be. And it's hard in this day and age. Like people have access to TikTok, which is 100% weaponized. People have access to social media. They have access to these Hollywood celebrities and the bullshit that they get paid to push out at people. And so it would be challenging to raise kids right now. But so it's like parents do need to be kind of more involved, I think. And when they're, you know, away or at work or have their own bullshit going on.
A lot of times though, I think the parents are the ones that are pushing it.
Oh no. Are you what?
I think a lot of the times. Yeah. I think that's where the kids get the ideas from.
You know? Okay. I mean, so, all right. That's another thing to look into.
My wife has had a client at work who knew some people, a married couple who are both in the gender studies department at Portland State University. And like magically, they had two pre-5-year-old children and they were both transgender. Like, imagine that. Like, you know, that's a coincidence, conspiracy, or just a coincidence.
Yeah, that's definitely not a coincidence. That's, oh my God. So
And then I can remember a friend of my younger daughter's who had a younger brother. So he was like, maybe this was, Avery was really young. So this little boy was, you know, 3, 4, 5. And I knew him up through like 4 or 5 years, you know, up till when he was like 7 or 8, something like that. And he wanted to wear dresses all the time. And he wanted to wear lipstick all the time. And he wanted to wear nail polish all the time. And now he's married with children and everything's great, you know, but at that age, that's what he wanted to do. Yeah. And his parents allowed it and just figured, you know.
Yeah. Did he have like an older, he probably had an older sister. He had an older
sister.
That he thought was cool, you know.
Yeah.
Like my older sister used to put barrettes in my hair when I was a little 3-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was,
you know, that's great just
because that's what she did.
Innocent, fun, you know.
I actually used, I had hair until I was about 14. Then it all fell out. But yeah,
that's I think
there's a lot of nefarious stuff to the transgender thing. And just like, I think that, like, Deborah, I've seen you talk about things before where you thought that there was a war on women. I think that, like, I think that's the war on women. I think transgenderism, I think having like, and it's just, it seems almost like disrespectful. Like, oh, it is disrespectful, but it just seems like the way that like drag queens or transgender people act to pretend to be women is like taking on like the most.
It's a caricature. It's cartoon character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when what I was referring to when I, because it never bothered me. Like, it's one thing when people get kids involved, because I'm like, yo, dude, like, I'm like, no kid is fucking old enough to make a life-changing decision like that. Like, can we leave them the fuck alone? But that's a different story. But the one time that I have ever gotten, you know, really, really fucking mad is when it went from, because like, I don't give a shit how somebody sexually identifies, it's their business. But when it crossed a line of, I know who the person is. I don't know how he became a celebrity or whatever. He went to the White House and I guess his name's Dylan or some shit. He was like
Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah. He was like Ulta Beauty's thing. And they interviewed a dude on what it's like to be in girlhood. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Like, so you're saying that men who pretend to be women are getting more respect and accolades for pretending to be women than actual fucking women. That pisses me off, like, to no end. And then he made some comment on Twitter, and a bunch of them did, actually, where they were like, yeah, sorry, ladies, but men are better at everything, including being women. And I'm like, oh, that's when I get crazy, is when men start talking to me like that. Because you think you can dress up like me like I'm a fucking Halloween costume and then start speaking for me? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Or they'll post on Twitter like, I'm having period cramps for my first time. Oh my God. What the fuck? You don't have ovaries. Are you fucking out of your mind? And then it went really far, dude, with that magazine cover where he's holding a baby that is not his. He is naked. He still is a dude. He still has a dick. Like, and it's someone's baby and the baby looks fucking terrified, but he has like a wig on and it's curled and makeup. And well, that's supposed to be an example of motherhood. Like, the dude has like hairy ass man legs. Like, what the fuck is this shit? So that's when I'm like, who gave him that baby? Like, whose baby is that? First off, cause you have problems. And second off, what the fuck? But I was talking to one of my friends and I'm like, when I see dudes coming into women's sports like MMA and beating the fuck out of them, I don't take kindly to that shit at all. Like, the whole reason why I started fighting MMA is because I didn't like getting the shit kicked out of me by men, because I've had that happen. So now you want to put men in MMA? I don't fucking think so. That there have been problems with men who get arrested, they're going to prison. This is California, of course. And they say, I identify as a woman. They're like, cool. They put a man in a woman's prison and now all the women are getting raped and pregnant. That like literally was in the news, but it died real quick because it's not the agenda. So that makes me furious as well.
Yeah. If Deborah, I'll tell you straight up, if I'm ever going to prison, I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's like insane to me. Yeah. It's like, you know, if people want, if somebody is transgender or what the fuck ever, cool, do that. But like, leave kids alone. And also like, don't beat the shit out of women or use it as an excuse to rape women. And if we can't trust people to not use that as an excuse of what if there are legit fucking sex offenders that aren't even transgender, but they can just dress up like a woman and say, I identify as a woman, I get to go into the women's bathroom. Then they go in there and, you know, there's a little girl in there. Like, I know people that's fucking happened too. So I'm not like even, you know, pontificating here. Like, that has fucking happened. So that's what got me really furious. And a lot of women as well is we're just like, what the fuck? Like, no, this is, when it comes to certain things, a line does need to be drawn. And I get that somebody in their mind and emotions can feel that they're not the gender they were born as. And that speaks more to a problem of societal constructs of what that gender is rather than like what parts you fucking have. That's probably what's fucking with them, is they identify more with the opposite gender's social construct. So they change their physical anatomy to match it, which, you know, that's a whole fucking hornet's nest in itself. And I it's like, okay, we get that. But when it comes to like something like, you know, other people's children or the safety of women who biologically are not as strong as men, and, you know, you're dealing with incidents where actual women are being assaulted or beaten up or harmed, same thing with children, somebody's got to draw a fucking line and be like, I get that's your reality in your head, bro, but that's not the physical reality. So there has to be, like, at some point this shit has to stop. Like, are we going to endanger women and children in this name of inclusivity and equality? Because like, what the fuck? Like, you don't see women going and trying to get into the fucking NFL that because
yeah, it's strange how it only goes one way.
Yeah. And I'm like, is that not a little bit fucking creepy? Like, it's infuriating to me that a man can just dress up in a wig and all of a sudden you might be woman of the year on Vogue. I don't know. It's happened before. So, but that's just nuts. I'm like, that's so disrespectful to women. So I'm like, are you trying to erase women like from both sides? Like, the femininity is getting snatched up by dudes pretending to be women or who think they're women. And then the other side is getting robbed from them because us as women, and I will testify to this shit because this was my experience. We receive messages through various ways that the way to be physically safe in the world and physically secure, financially secure, all the things, is that we do have to take on these more traditionally masculine roles. And I was told that from the fucking jump. I was never, ever, ever told you get to grow up and be a mommy. No, it was you grow up, you get a high paying job, you go to college, you have to have a good career, you have to make money. It was all of the stuff that's typically told to dudes. And that is kind of the world that we live in. And so like it's even an issue for women to even figure out, well, what really is femininity? Cause we have to figure that shit out ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'm not going to listen to some fucking dude tell me what it is. I'm like, do you even know what being masculine is? Cause half the time they have no idea either, another problem.
Way less than half. So yeah, I think I won't mansplain it to you, I guess, but I think it's just, yeah, that everything that's being put out there right now that is being told to women that makes them feminine is traditionally been a male characteristic, you know, going out.
Oh, yeah, we're not even told what femininity is or being feminine is at all, because the message that I got, and there are multiple reasons for this. Some of them are a little bit more dark than others, right? But the message that I always got, and my experience unfortunately did show this, is if you are more like, show more of like a softness or like a caring or emotional side to you, you are going to become prey and get taken advantage of, and bad things will happen to you. I hate to say it, but that was my experience. And until I became very aggressive and only associated with other males that were also aggressive. So like, I didn't even have female friends until I was in my 20s. Like, growing up, I was like raised around dudes. you know, that like the, I didn't stop with, you know, as far as like being sexually assaulted or physically assaulted or even bullying, like that didn't go away until I learned how to essentially behave like a dude. And I learned it from other dudes. It worked for them. Dudes were scared of them. So I hung out with them. I acted like them. You know what I mean? I never once thought I was a man, but I just was like, well, if that's the way to not get, you know, physically harmed, and if that's how I have to behave to get respect in this world, then that's what I have to do. So it's like, you become afraid of being that person. And I know that there's a lot of men out there that say they want that, but then when you show that, they wind up like taking advantage of it. Or if they see you cry, they're like, they'll make fun of you or just be like, oh my, you know what? And I'm like, well, like, what the fuck do you actually really want then? And that's a whole nother conversation, because that's not all men, but that's like a certain subsect of them, because it's become trendy to be very hypocritical on both sides. But it is weird, because I've had to examine my own upbringing and my own programming and also my own experiences, and the experiences are very valid, but also it is kind of telling of what is coming down the line and what people are projecting onto their kids when, you know, little kids, it's like, let them have a fucking childhood. Why are they having to figure out what they're going to be when they grow up, when they're in fucking kindergarten? Yeah. Like, why do we have to figure out how much money we're going to make, you know, that early? Like, what the fuck? That's crazy. Like, it was immediately, what job are you going to have? What are you going to do? What are you going to be? You need a career, and don't have any kids until you're rich, and don't trust men because they're going to fuck you over. So sign a prenup and all this bull, you know, it was just, I mean, that's what myself and a lot of other people were told. So, and then you do have the also valid experience of what happens when you are trusting or sensitive or more, a little more soft, is this society does as a collective view that as easy target. I'm going to manipulate you, steal from you, abuse you because I had a bad day and I know you won't fight back, or, you know, assault you, rape you, stalk you, whatever. I dealt with all that shit. So that's not a manufactured fear. So there's got to be some kind of fucking middle ground. You know what I mean? Because that energy, that feminine, that stereotypically feminine, because everybody has a balance of both in them, or an imbalance, whatever. But that feminine energy is necessary. I mean, and we need to be able to, I mean, I want to be able to express that shit too. I know that I enjoy being in that energy.
And then there are, you know, girls who reach a certain age and decide it's more attractive to be dumb.
Oh, yeah. God, that is so heartbreaking when I see that shit. Because I'm just like, yo, like, they're just doing that to, like, appease the type of men out there that only are attracted to, I guess, idiot wallflowers or whatever. And then they think that their whole purpose in life is to just look pretty and sit there. And that's fucking heartbreaking. Because it's like, no, you're a person with opinions, dude. Like, no. So that's why I think there's so much intense polarization right now, is because there's been an imbalance. So then with any imbalance, you pull a rubber band back far enough, it's going to shoot really far in the other fucking direction. And we're just on this seesaw. And I think people are trying to just find some stability and some sanity in this fucking crazed hive that we're all living in. So it's, I don't know, dude. I just, I think that we all need to figure out kind of like, you know, who are we really underneath what society was telling us, you know, since jump, and also like create a society where it is safe for women to be more feminine and more soft and loving and nurturing without worrying that they're going to be a victim of an assault. And we should have a society where, like, I can't speak on masculinity. I'm not a dude. So like, I'm not going to, you know, cross that line, but where, you know, a lot of men that I've spoken to have shared very real stories that are really fucked up. And it's a shame that they've had to deal with that as well, because they basically, a lot of men say that they get treated like they're the bad guy, or like they're a predator, or like they're violent, when they have zero behavior that have ever made someone think that, but they just get like shit thrown at them, and it makes them just kind of want to withdraw, because they're like, why the fuck am I being attacked, like, just for being a dude? Like, all of a sudden I'm a threat, I haven't even done anything. And like, that's fucked up too. So I'm trying to, you know, see how it's gonna take a lot of us. Like, no one person can do it, but there's got to be some sort of balancing and reconciliation, so we can start working together again and you know, live in some sort of sanity. Cause I really don't believe that people are in their heart of hearts happy with the way that shit is. Like, I don't see that in people, even if they're getting their way. Like, what I see from them typically is always angry, hysterical outbursts. That's not the marker of a happy person.
Right. Right. Uh-oh, we can't hear you, Adam.
I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for traditional roles in society and that the way that they're just being broken down and perverted and all that. And I think, you know, I think women should be allowed to be feminine. And I think that the answer to that is to have strong men around that can, that are supposed to protect them. And I think that that's being demonized in society.
Yeah.
And I think I heard Vin, we'll get you out of here pretty quick, but I heard Vin Armani say this quote the other day, and it was really, really profound to me. He said it in talking about kind of in a religious way, but he said, tradition is the solution for problems that we don't know exist yet. Hmm. So that meant a lot to me. So,
and there is also, you know, I forget who we were talking with, Adam, but talking about the women's movement and how one of the things that that really managed to do very well was to emasculate men.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think we're just going farther and farther down that road. So
where is that? Like, I'm just trying to figure out where the fuck is the demonization of protective men coming from? Like, am I just not following the right people? I'm trying to figure that out because I hear that all the time. But I'm like, I cannot express enough how much both myself and other women that I know like want that in a man. Like I will straight up not even be involved with a dude if he has no protective instincts. I'm not saying I want him to be a violent person, but he should be capable of that. Like, the world is fucking nuts. Like, we do need men in that role. And like, sorry if some of them don't want to be that way, you know, like whatever, but it is really hard being a single woman who is navigating this world. It's like, you know, you kind of, that's why we all have to fucking carry weapons and shit. And even then it's still tough because in certain states you'll still go to prison for using that weapon if you have to. So I know what it's like to be both a child and an adult, but be in situations where like, if there was a man around that would have stopped that, like they could have thwarted a very traumatic scenario, but that wasn't the case. So I'm like, who the fuck is putting out this shit that is in making men feel like that like they shouldn't be that way? Like, I want to fucking know, because I'm not I know it's there, I'm just wondering where it's coming from, because I don't follow a lot of I don't follow things that are insane to me. So I'm just trying to figure out where to look, because I'm like, yeah, who is doing this?
I think a good place to start, I forget how you do it, there's a way that you can go in and do like searches of media by year. You can like type in, like you could type in toxic masculinity, and you could, okay. I think Google has like analytics that'll do it. I'll find out. I was listening to, they were talking about it on No Agenda. They do it. Like, they talk about, you type in like racism, and the New York Times like never ever talked about racism. And then in like 2011, like you can see like the graph go like to the moon where they're talking about like racism and all this stuff like that. And that's where you see these keywords. So you could look up like toxic masculinity or like things like that and see where it came into the lexicon, who brought it in, and where all that stuff's coming from. I mean, we know, or I mean, you're talking about the Bilderberg Group and Davos and all this stuff like that, World Economic Forum, all this thing, all these NGOs are the ones, that think tanks and stuff, that bring this stuff to the forefront and put it out there. And like, it's just, you know, it's like you can do it by watching Fox or CNN or any cable news, like, and just see like, and you'll hear the NPCs in your life just say keywords, just say words that happen on TV, you know? And I think going back and figuring out when that stuff all came in, and it's so many dots that you have to connect. And I don't think, I really think you should get out there and get your podcast going. I don't think you're ever going to like uncover, get to the perfect point. Just like having babies. I don't think anybody's ever going to be like perfectly prepared. I think you got to get out there and do it and start connecting those dots, and more will be revealed. And I think it's a never ending, you know, thread that you got to keep pulling, but I think it goes back a long, long ways. And yeah, I think it'd probably lead you to some deep, dark corners of the world.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you might be right about that. Like, at least just get the, because we're not trying to do this in one episode. I have a feeling it's going to be like multiple. So at least get like the first episode out there, because I am trying to get more feedback from people. I don't care what their opinions are. I just want like a sample size to be like, what's on everybody's mind or whatever. So maybe that'll get more people to want to participate in a conversation, because when I post about it on social media, a few people will comment and it'll show me how many people like saw it. And some people will even send an emoji. I'm like, that's not what the fuck I asked, but it's like everybody's watching it, but they just won't say what their opinion is. And I'm like, fucking why? Like, why the fuck are you all just watching it but not saying shit? Like, I see you, motherfucker. I know you're looking at it. Like, what the fuck? So maybe more people will once we start putting it out there. But so yeah, we're just gonna, we'll probably just start like once I'm back on the mainland or whatever, if I even get to leave, we'll see what happens with the weather. But yeah, you're probably right. It's probably just something that needs to get thrown out there, and we'll just take it for how it unfolds. But yeah, it is unbelievably fucking complicated, and there's no way we're gonna get it all done in one swing. And we might not at all, but at least we can do something.
Yeah, it's just so huge. It's just so all encompassing. There's so much to it.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's all so different and so related at the same time. It's it's a bit of an undertaking. So, Deborah, any final thoughts?
Just that we're all humans.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be pushing young people to decide what their future is when they're toddlers.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who would identify with you on a lot of politics that feel the same way, but are scared to say that, or don't even. I think, you know, through doing the show with you, what I've found out the most is that like a lot of the time you don't even know what the hell is happening. It's just weirdos like me that pay attention way too much to stuff like this that know, you know? So I think most people, even if they are Democrats, middle of the road Democrats, don't want little children being sexualized, you know? So.
Amen.
Tess, you want to tell everybody where to find you and how to support you?
Yes. So I go by Testamona on all platforms. I am a singer, lyricist, rapper. I make everything from blues to dark trap to lo-fi and R&B. That's my primary gig, but I am also a writer and a podcaster. So my podcast is called The Great Silencing with Testamona. You can find that on every single podcast streaming platform. I am also on Rumble now because my shit was getting censored on YouTube for misinformation, which it fucking was true, but you know how those fucking people are.
Yeah, we got nuked off there a couple months ago.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, yeah. I was so pissed. Oh my God. But it's to be expected. So yeah, if you guys want to find me on all social media, it's at Testamona, TESSTAMONA. On Instagram, I also have a podcast account. It's at The Great Silencing. On Telegram, I got a chat there. It's The Great Silencing Uncensored. You can also go to www.testimona.com for the blog, the podcast, and the music, and the merch store. I also sell, aside from clothing, concealed knives, which are very fucking dope. So check that shit out before they run out. Or you can go to linktree.com/testimona, and I'm also there. So yeah, okay. That is where you can find me.
Cool. I'll put your link tree in the show notes. And yeah, as always, it was rad talking to you. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I hope you get to Hawaii. Have a fantastic holiday season this year.
Yeah, you guys too. I hope you make it to California.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk soon. All right.
All right. Talk soon. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people. All those black babies, fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.